Hi there, I'm Tom Evans, and welcome to the Eat Game podcast. Great to be back. This is where we aim to educate, inspire, and promote the benefits of sustainable, delicious game meat. And over the next few weeks, we're going to bring you a brand new series of conversations with some of the country's most talented chefs and restaurateurs. We have a fantastic lineup for you, which I will tell you a little more about after today's guest. So we're going to kick off this brand new series with a look at something new for the game meat industry. We're going to focus on venison specifically with the British Quality Wild Venison Standard, known as the BQWV, a new national quality assurance scheme for wild venison, launched last year in 2023. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about what's involved here. So to tell us more about the standard and how it's sort of all been developed is David Hooton, Deer Officer for East and East Midlands Area Forestry Commission. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Lovely to have you on. So give us your full title and exactly what it is sort of you do day to day.
Okay, so I am the Deer Officer, East East Midlands Area Team, working in Grants Regulation for the Forest Services branch of the Forestry Commission. Been involved with this team now for 3.5 years. Previous to that, I've been involved in deer management advisory work with the Deer Initiative since 2003. And prior to that, I was a wildlife ranger doing the deer control for the Forest Commission at Thetford Forest. So it's been deer-related business for 30-something years now, and It sort of takes over your life. And venison has been one of those things that's come up time and time again during that period as an issue where if you can't get your product into a supply chain, you don't cull as many deer. And obviously we've seen deer populations rise over that time from 1 million or so estimated by Forest Commission research back in 1995-ish to over 2 million now across the country. And when we talk about the country, we talk about the UK.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're just the person to speak to about this. This is a wonderful sort of scheme that's now been set up. So hopefully this will sort of be such a positive step forward for the venison market. So let's start with what the British Quality Wild Venison Standard aims to do, David.
It's about making the supply chain more robust and demonstrate to the end users that we have our house in order in terms of food safety. So the whole time we're culling, we are producing food, and we produce that food to a high standard. It's a quality product, and it's making sure that is recognised by whoever that end user is. Historically, those markets have been both local and sort of national into first-class airline or cruise ships, and that market has been quite turbulent over the last 5 years, obviously exacerbated by the COVID pandemic when hospitality was closed down. But even back in 2008, 2009, we were seeing real fluctuations in demand for wild venison. And we worked on something called the East of England Wild Venison Project back then, put £500,000 worth of funding into infrastructure in East Anglia. And that made a difference locally. More nationally, it's about now trying to ensure we've got traceability of the wild venison product coming through from the supplier, the Deerstalker, through the AGHE network or local sales and local processing, and ending up on someone's plate in a manner that is consistent with other food products. We have Red Tractor for other farmed produce. We've now got British Quality Wild Venison Standard that supplies wild venison into that supply chain as well.
Right. So from the point of shot through to the end of processing, it's ensuring that that standard is there all the way through that supply chain. So it's a set of guidelines, a set of rules that deerstalkers, estates, landowners, sort of game handlers can all sign up to, become members of, if you will, which then as consumers, we see, as you mentioned, the Red Tractor, the equivalent, the BQWV mark, that will give us peace of mind. Is that the idea behind it? Yeah,
that's the idea. And once you've got a standard, we hope and we think and we've been told that will help to open up new marketplaces that are outside the existing supply chain, such as expanding the NHS contract we've got in northwest of England, potentially going into other procurement lines within the prison service or MOD, for instance, where we have interest, but we haven't got the product going through in any volume. And it's trying to create that new market with a product that they can trust and they know where it's come from. And at the moment, although we are meeting the standards set out by the Food Standards Agency, it's not being audited. We're being told that if you can provide that audited trail, you're more likely to get your product into these big end markets.
Yeah, it's improving that traceability, isn't it, of the wild venison, which is so key.
It is. And the standards that we're expecting aren't over and above what we should be doing anyway. And that's sort of the critical bit, that we're not expecting people to invest millions of pounds into new infrastructure. It's about making sure that we're all doing what we should be doing currently, that we have chilled products right from the point of shop ending up in that continuation of the supply chain. The chilled chain is maintained, the records are maintained, the standards of cleanliness, HACCPs, are all in place that we should have anyway.
Educate me a little bit on how this all came about, because there's been rumblings for a while that this would be a good idea. So I know that it's sort of been a cross-sector thing, really, with lots of different organisations coming together. But was there one particular one that sort of got everyone together and thought, let's really move forward with this?
Yeah, there was, and it stems predominantly from a meeting we held in the east of England back in about May 2020. So it was just in the middle of that pandemic. There was obviously a requirement that deer could be culled through that period and were still being culled, but there was no end market. And even before COVID, there was a decline in demand from hospitality. So we developed a working group called the British Wild Venison Working Group, unsurprisingly, I suppose. But and that's made up of the shooting organisations, BASC, BDS, the NGO, Forest Commission ourselves, because we have an interest in maintaining deer control across land areas to protect woodlands and that biodiversity aspects that we all know about, included Grown in Britain, who are the guys who helped write the standard. They do standards for forestry sector already. And then we're working currently with SAI Global, who are the auditing body that the standard sits with. And we work with them on making sure the audits are in place. But it was that working group made up of interested people across that early supply chain sector, including the AGHE network. So Stephen Crouch, who chairs the National Association for Game Dealers, he sits on the group. Christian does from Highland Game. Ben Rigby's been involved as well. So we've brought the sector together into one place and said, look, what can we do about making sure we can keep wild venison going through the supply chain into hospitality? Because we know the deer population is going up. We know that culling needs to take place so that we get the volumes of product going through that we need to manage deer populations. So, there's a whole process of how can we make British quality wild venison an everyday product rather than just being something that's a bit of a niche marketplace. And the volumes that we're dealing with are relatively small. If we've got 2 million deer in the UK, we need to be culling 750,000, 800,000 a year to sort of stand still, which isn't a huge volume when you look at the volumes of other meats going through the abattoirs each and every year.
Yeah.
The product we've got is a wild product, obviously. It's there roaming the countryside, and it has a high quality of life, and there isn't the stress of going through an abattoir once you cull it. It's being culled humanely. So the whole sort of story around wild venison isn't being told very well. So part of the project is to make it more readily available, both at a local level and at a national level, by telling the story that we need to manage our countryside, we need to increase the biodiversity of our landscapes, and the deer predominantly adversely affect a lot of our landscape objectives, such as tree planting within woodlands, woodlands back into management, planting hedgerows, the wider conservation aspects of farmed landscapes where we're planting wild bird nectar mixes or feed, winter feed for wild birds, bumblebee nectar mixes. Deer at the wrong densities adversely affect that. They do have a part to play in our landscapes, but invariably we see populations increasing to levels where our other landscape objectives are not being met as fully as they could be.
Yeah. The deer population must be in balance with the ecosystem, and then everything will be able to flourish and turn, is essentially what you're saying here, isn't it? So, you know, it's so important to counterbalance it.
It is, and the conversations around miles and miles of deer fencing or lots and lots of plastic tree shelters is part of the protection, but we need to manage that deer population to a level where they're not adversely affecting things outside the fences. And fencing the miles and miles of woodlands being created at the moment isn't a sustainable solution for the long-term management of our landscape. So we need to develop this sort of long-term, viable, stable wild venison supply chain. And time will tell as to the effectiveness of that. But we do need to do something very radical, I think, in making sure that we change the way wild venison is perceived. We need to make sure that the product is really available to chefs in the future, that at a number of rural-based events, we get venison as a product of a meal within that event. So we worked with Growing Britain and the CLA recently at the Forestry Conference, and they did produce the venison pies for lunch. That's getting this product into a newer marketplace. Yep. It's providing wild venison as a meal, and we need to do that more and more readily.
Yeah, and this is where the standard will come in and give it time to bed in. I think it will be just such a positive thing. Moving forward, I mean, it's early days.
It is early days. And at a meeting we held on Friday, I was told, David, please be patient. because I've been involved for so many years now, one way or another, I feel that we should be moving much quicker than we are doing. But it takes time to bring in a standard. It takes time to work with the producer sector, the deer stalkers, working with the AGHE network, working with some of the smaller producers who are providing a really high quality into farm shops and local outlets. We just need to build the confidence amongst our network and then start to work out in that wider network of saying, we've got the product here that we can utilise fully going down the sort of supply chain in the next 5 years. Let's work on it gradually. Let's make sure we've got the bits in place that we need to get in place.
Well, you're a great ambassador going forward for this, David. We can all pick up on the passion you've got for this, so that's wonderful. Now, where can we find the standards for a little bit more information for people that want to know a little bit more? Where do we need to go for that?
If you Google British Quality Wild Venison, you'll come up straight to our standard. So it's www.bqwv.co.uk, I think it is.
Brilliant. BQWV, everyone give that a search online. The British Quality Wild Venison Standard, up and running now. David, thank you. David Hooton from the Forestry Commission, thanks so much for your time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
So as mentioned at the top of the show, over the coming weeks, we're going to bring you a brand new series of conversations with some of the country's most talented chefs, restaurateurs and nutritionists. And here is what we've got to look forward to. Joining us as our first guest next week is head chef at Michelin-starred restaurant The Black Swan, which one reviewer has labelled as the best restaurant in the world. We talk to Callum Leslie.
The first couple of snacks you have downstairs is one of them smoked eel, which a lot of people think jellied eel and don't like, and the other one's duck hearts and livers. It's quite a controversial start to a menu, that. They've tried something new, and then, you know, who knows, maybe they will go to the butcher and get some game.
We also have chef and director of the Michelin-starred Beach House in Oxwich, Wales, Howell Griffith.
When sustainability is the number one topic, why buy, you know, meat from a supermarket that's flown from Europe when you can eat a partridge instead of a chicken, you can eat a venison steak instead of a beef steak?
The whole food warrior herself, Eva Humphreys, will be on as well. She's fast becoming one of the country's most popular nutritional therapists.
The vast majority of us in the UK are very low on zinc. And there are very, very few foods that contain zinc. Game is one of them. Getting a bit more game into our diet will just really help us get the right levels of nutrients in without having to try too hard.
We've got former MasterChef champion, patron and owner of Wood Manchester, Simon Wood.
Kids in school need to know that you can eat a pigeon and it's not come from, like, I'm in Manchester, so Piccadilly Gardens, you know. It tastes delicious, it's really enjoyable. Let's turn our kids away from turkey Twizzlers, chicken nuggets and sausages and start to get some more interesting things on the menu in different ways and normalise it.
Wild food expert, hunter, fisherman, food waste warrior, TV's Mark Lloyd will be joining us.
We've become very sterile in our view of what we want food to be. We want it in plastic little packs with no picture of the animal on it, with no reference to the animal on it, with a little pad underneath it to soak up any juice so we don't see any supposed blood, even though it's not blood. That's why butchery counters have gone out the majority of supermarkets, is because they worked out that they can stick it in a pack and most people will just pick it up and help themselves.
So a really exciting lineup of guests over the coming weeks. Make sure you subscribe to the channel so as not to miss the latest episode of the Eat Game podcast.